cliffcentral.com.
All right, cliffcentral.com. We always try to bring you interesting things that you might not have thought about or answers that you need for questions you have thought about. And Elna McIntosh is an old friend of ours. Old friend, but not
very old.
No, I didn't say old because, I mean, please.
The next birthday, me and Ellen DeGeneres, same age. Check out Ellen, me.
You're the same age as Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, and Madonna. And if Michael was still with us, Michael. Oh. And just go and look, the year of 1958.
Wow. Good year. Superstar year. Well, this morning we're going to talk about something that I think a lot of guys we joke about and we think we know all about. Like this is easy. This is some place you go and you store your sperm, and you know one day you might have some use for that. You want to have a kid or something, and maybe you're old or you've got an injury or your sperm's compromised in some way, so you can't have the kid that you wanted to have. But we actually don't know anything. And Elna came in here the other day and she said to me, you know, you need to talk about this because I think your listeners need to know. And she's right. Do you have a lot of people who ask you questions about this?
So I work with patients that have got cancer that before we start treatment, mm-hmm. So especially for men.
Because it affects the what do you call it? Yeah, but it's the meiosis that becomes...
You know, you study too much and you read too much and you... But yeah, something like that.
Well... If you irradiate or you put someone through chemotherapy, it first of all goes for the mutating cells,
yep.
Or the rapidly reproducing cells. And the cells that reproduce the fastest are the ones in the sex organs that produce the sperm and the eggs. Mm. So obviously if you're going through cancer treatment, you can't produce that. You could produce healthy offspring during that time.
Yep.
So before you go for the treatment, you're going to try and store your eggs or sperm.
So I speak about both. I speak about egg donation as well. Mm-hmm. But today, dedicated to sperm.
All right. So
Petrus from the sperm bank. I mean, everybody thought, what do the people look like that work in the sperm bank?
Petrus from the sperm bank. How does it work at a party when everybody's saying, oh, I'm a doctor and I'm a lawyer and I build Lego? What do you say?
Well, it's an interesting situation because you normally find that once you mention it, you've either got a complete end to the conversation or it carries on for quite a few hours. So it's always a very interesting situation.
How do you broach the subject when everyone else is just talking about, oh, well, I've been a teacher for 14 years and...
Well, it's not really about broaching the subject. You know, people stand around and they ask, what do you do? And then you say you own a sperm bank. And then the next moment you can hear a pin drop.
I want to tell you what Elna does. Oh, she has such an interesting job. And then you're like, oh, enough. The same for you. Oh, Petra's got such an interesting job. And it's like, I usually say I sell beer.
So how many guys in South Africa make use of your facilities?
Well, we currently have around 8,000 people that have stored with us.
Wow.
So it's a substantial number.
Yeah.
That excludes our donors themselves. And most of them are cancer patients or people that have gone for a vasectomy where they would then store their sperm before they then actually go and have the vasectomy done. We also find many men that have already gotten married and have had children.
Mm-hmm.
They will then go for a vasectomy and they would have stored sperm because you never know what will happen at the later stage. They get remarried and then the wife says she really wants to have children. And then that's a problem for them.
But,
and my transgender patients.
Oh, yeah. What happens to the transgender patients?
Before they start hormonizing. So if we have a male to female transgender patient, mm-hmm. they have to come and bank. Well, that's if they want to, but that is an option that we discuss.
Sperm.
Bank sperm.
Yep. Isn't Earth full? Do we really need...
It's very full. 7 billion of us.
Exactly. We're packed like sardines. Do we really need to be storing up sperm? I mean, what makes all these people think they're so special that these 8,000 people need to store some sperm? If they really cared about the continuation of the species, they'd just adopt, right?
Well, adoption is not quite that easy. Adoption is a very long and tedious process, and there's huge waiting lists.
Much easier just make your own.
Yes, it's always better just to make your own, for sure.
Okay, so what kind of people, besides the ones who are about to undergo cancer treatment... What sort of people come to you?
It really is people from all walks of life. It's all ages. We've had probably until the age of about 65 that have still stored sperm with us. Mm-hmm. We've had very prominent people in society. We've had heads of state. So it's a very interesting mix of people. It's not just young people. And
hopefully
it's not
our current head of state. We've got enough progeny
there?
From him.
Gaddafi, are you allowed to tell us?
No, Gaddafi wasn't there.
Wow.
Even if he was, he
would you Gaddafi wasn't there. Putin wasn't there.
Look how excited you just got, Elna. Did you want to have Gaddafi's child?
You know what I've always wanted? Look, my perfect man would look like the following. He would wear a white uniform. Mm-hmm. He'd have like epaulets here and like medals.
So like a sailor.
You're a sailor.
An admiral. At least an admiral.
Okay, an admiral.
A gentleman, Richard Gere.
All right. Oh, so Richard Gere in that...
in that yarn. Okay. Like, you'd wear like a uniform like that. So Gaddafi, always remember, he used to wear like a thing with gold things here. And so
you liked that when Gaddafi did that.
Okay, we all have fantasies. Let's go somewhere else. Gaddafi. Let's go back to sperm.
Wow. Okay, so for the successful storage, does it happen with a one-time deposit? Or are there instances where you'll say, sorry, Mr. Thornton, you need to come back because the first batch was accidentally blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Do they come in once and then that's it, they're done?
There's a lot of factors also that influence that. We normally ask them to abstain from ejaculation for at least 3 days, but not more than 7 days, so that we can ensure we get a good volume. Once we've got the sperm then in hand, we then find, that we look at the count.
What's a good volume, by the way? I mean, how much are we talking about?
The average volume is around 1.5 ml. So it's not a...
Not 10 cc.
Yeah, it's
like
not 10 cc.
Remember there was a band 10 cc, and that was kind of what they said. That's where their name comes from. Yeah. It's not true.
It's certainly not 10 cc. Very rarely you would see that. And the other thing that will influence that is that the bigger the volume, obviously the lower percentage of actual sperm that you have in the specimen.
But in a milliliter of sperm, you have 20 to 150 million.
He says it's my not, research
it's,
is
it's
wrong.
It's 20 to 200, 50 to 250 mil is the World Health Organization values at the moment.
Wow.
So it's a huge difference from 50 to 250 million, obviously. Mm. And that would also be influenced by, your diet and things like that. These things can all have implications on the quantity and the quality of your sperm.
But when you have low sperm, so you can get people with no sperm. So
yes,
when you have low sperm, it's still a lot.
Yes,
a few million.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you only have 5 million sperm or 1 million sperm, you only need the one guy that's going to swim straight and fast to get the job done.
Yeah, you only need the one.
But you know,
I mean, do people who have only 1 million, do they know they're poor? Do they know?
Yes, certainly it will come out in the result and they'll know about it once you've done the test. But if they haven't done the test, they would not know. And there's a general misconception that the bigger the volume of sperm that you have, the higher your sperm count, which is not the case. We have found that the bigger the volume, the less your sperm count is. And it's not just a percentage thing, but normally if you have a very, very high volume, you might even find that you have got no sperm. So it's important that you check.
They actually sleep in a bank. Let's just start from there. The sperm bank actually is a bank.
Okay,
it has a vault.
It's a vault.
And it's a vault.
Yes.
Because you know the movie, what is that movie with, he had all those children and then they all came back to look for him. They had 700 and something children.
I think it's a Vince Vaughn movie.
Vince Vaughn, that's it. Go find us the name. But Vince Vaughn, yes. And so everybody sort of thinks of that movie and says, oh, but what? So that's not true. You can only use the sperm 5 times.
At the moment, that has changed. You can have 10 offspring from a donor. Mm-hmm. 10 live offspring. Previously, it used to be 6. Mm-hmm. In other countries, it varies.
Do you store any human sperm?
Yes. Yeah, we only store human sperm. We've had requests for storing horse and cattle.
I mean, a racehorse, for example. I mean, that's expensive stuff.
Legally,
absolutely, but we're not involved
bulls,
in that business at all.
The prize bulls. There's actually in Pretoria, those are the next people you're going to get. The
bull prize bull sperm.
Yes.
Apparently, this is worth millions.
Yes, yeah. I think sometimes we're in the wrong business.
Oh.
You know, if you look at an ejaculate for a cow, you're looking at about 400 straws or 450 straws that you would make up out of one ejaculation, and for a human, it will only be about 5 straws, if you're lucky.
I would imagine in the prize bull sperm bank, they would have a picture of the bull next to
their
story, so you would know. Oh, this is. John, he's a fine specimen. He's got a nice big hump on his back. He's got a nice set of horns, big balls. Now, this is a prize bull. But with humans, you can't do that.
No, not quite. No, you certainly can't show the size of the balls.
No. people would be offended. But can you put a description that doesn't allude to who the person is? You could say a fat, older, white Portuguese man with a lot of back hair.
No, none of that. And no? We're not going to use fat older either. What's the cutoff age?
The cutoff age is the legal age is between 18 and 35. We don't take donors that's younger than 21. And we don't take donors that is older than 35 unless they are really special people.
Oh, Gareth, that rules you out.
My Martin, yeah.
Not special and over 35.
Shit. I'm sure we can make an exception done. For you.
Why is that?
But what? That means, Ben, you're on the cusp.
It's just that,
yeah,
you know,
I'm still in the game.
It's just that during those ages, you normally find that you've got the better quality sperm. The older you get, the more your sperm will degenerate. But that does not mean that you cannot fertilize or still have a successful pregnancy at the age of 65 or 85.
Mm. That's not those special hunks that were here just before us. They just yes. ran for the door.
Now, which is a pity.
Because are you always looking for sperm?
We're not always looking for sperm, but always looking for sperm donors.
All right. Yes. What makes a good donor?
What makes a good donor? We normally only take donors that is about 1.75 or taller.
You don't want dwarves.
No.
You can tell me.
Well,
I'm not going to accuse you of prejudice.
I wouldn't say that we don't want dwarves. We haven't ever had one.
Imagine some woman walks in. She goes, "I'd love to have the child of Arnold Schwarzenegger," and out walks Danny DeVito. A couple of months later.
Yeah, I think that would be, a bit of a bizarre situation, although it does take two to tango, so you certainly do see a mix of the recipient and the donor.
All right, so you say they've got to be tall. What else?
Yes, they have to be tall. They have to be intelligent. So as far as that is concerned, we say we want a person that is at least studying at the moment, who have already qualified. Oh. We verify those results. We look at a whole bunch of blood tests to make sure that there's no funny things that pop out as far as that is concerned.
Like
we
inherited diseases.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of DNA testing that is done.
Right. How good are we at this DNA testing now? Can you predict like hair color and athletic build? And
I'm not very familiar with the DNA testing itself. The only test that we do is to look at sperm defragmentation or DNA fragmentation within the sperm. We currently use what we call a CMA3 test, but there are more advanced tests on the market at the moment that gives a much more accurate value. And the other thing, as far as the fragmentation is concerned, that you can also pick that up in oxidative stress in the sperm. So if you've got too much oxygen, it affects it. And if you've got too little oxygen, it affects it. So you basically determine what they call a ROS factor to determine the level of damage to the sperm DNA.
I'm curious, though. So a guy goes in, he's the right height, he's studying. Do you attach a description?
Yes, we do have a short description. Where we have obviously the donor code, we have the length or the height and the height, the weight, what the person is doing, what his hobbies are, the eye color, hair color, that we have in the short profile.
And you don't say tribal or genetic background. Like if someone was, if it was important that you listed them as Tswana or Xhosa or Jewish or Russian or anything like that. You put that in there?
Yes, it does go in there. Some people are very specific and they do not want to have a donor that is outside of their background, and other people are not concerned. They're really there to have a child, and they're not very concerned about the race or the cultural background, because those things are really also formed.
Do you ever mix it up and do a lucky dip? No. Like, in other words, you mix it all together and some woman says, "Well, I don't mind as long as the child's healthy. I don't mind if it's a black man, a Russian man, a guy from South America. Mix it up for me and we'll just do a lucky dip."
No, that doesn't happen.
But you can do that online.
But, yeah.
We found it. It's called Hello Baby.
Oh, yeah?
And you can actually go there and there you can pick. And it tells you there, Asian, Chinese, at home, you can put in colors.
Like height, a designer baby. Heavy.
Yep. And then you put it in. And
now
so
that's exciting.
But like anything on the net, if you buy, I think it's
no
based
guarantees.
In San Francisco. Does it tell us where it's based?
Yeah, you don't get a money back guarantee if the child is Chinese when you actually ordered an Italian.
Because sperm can't just fly. It can't just go on a hoop.
No.
Do you still transport sperm to
yes,
other countries?
Yes, we certainly do.
How do you transport sperm?
Yeah.
We put it in a what we call a dry shipper container. You basically add the liquid nitrogen into the container. It absorbs into a porous material. Then it will keep that specimens at minus 196 degrees for up to 30 days.
Is that the temperature you've got to keep it at?
Yes. Minus 196.
Now, what if people are trying to store this in their freezer at home? That's a very bad idea.
It is a bad idea. I have heard of people that have done that.
Yeah.
Like the managing director of Cryos in Denmark.
Yeah.
When he started out his business and he started to play around with this whole concept, he actually had a dream about sperm banking. And he started out putting it in his freezer, and then apparently at one stage his mother complained that he should move these things out of his freezer. So he did get some value out of it, but certainly not an idea to store long term in your mother's freezer.
How much space does all this sperm take up in your sperm bank?
It takes up probably about 50 square meters. It's not that much.
Big, yeah.
But you know, every
this
container.
Vault is huge. I don't even want to go in the vault. I just look around the corner.
Yes, it's certainly some place you have to visit at some stage. We'll take you around. It will be great.
Where is it?
We are in Parktown.
Oh, okay.
So around the corner from Parkland Clinic, we're next door to Mike's Kitchen Restaurant. Actually,
how long can you keep it there for?
You can store it there in excess of 20 years, and still have a successful pregnancy from that.
Really? So, I mean, I could have been dead 20 years.
Hmm. Yes, it's the closest you'll ever get to time travel at the moment.
I mean, that could be quite exciting, don't you think, Mubs?
Well,
but what about wills and things? Because there has been people that have had to fight wills and saying, did he give permission and he was my boyfriend? Or
yeah, if you've stored for yourself, you do sign a last will and testament, so to speak, agreement with us at the time that gives the person permission to use it during the time that they are still partners or at the time that the person would have passed away. So these things are also checked when a lady would, for example, walk in and claim the sperm of the husband. We would then need to see, he needs to give permission first and foremost.
Okay.
It cannot be released without that, and we would need to have a death certificate.
So if I say to you, you can keep mine, but after 20 years you must destroy it.
That is perfectly fine. We will note that and we will do so. Huh.
And then what happens?
You can put a time on it.
How do you destroy, or do you destroy all the sperm that doesn't get used after its expiry date?
Well, it's not quite thrown out in the trash, but it's pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Give it to a homeless person to put in their McDonald's.
Oh, I mean, really.
Well, no, the straws. And finding straws. Just explain straws, because it sounds
It is exactly a straw. You know, it's just not a cool drink straw, but it takes 0.5 ml in a straw, and then you make up whatever the volume is of the sperm you make up in those straws, and then they go through a freezing process.
And then you just put one in at a time.
Well, it depends. If you're doing an IVF or an ICSI procedure, if you're doing an IVF procedure, they would reduce that volume down to 100,000, and they will only use 100,000 per egg. If they're doing an ICSI procedure, they will just grab the one, a single sperm that they look under the microscope and decide that it's got a good morphology or that it's morphologically normal, and they will then insert that one sperm into the egg.
Wow.
And if it's a normal insemination, then you would use one or two straws and do it either intracervically or intrauterinely.
Do donors get paid? Do you have a lot of varsity kids walking in saying, hey, listen, I need quick cash, fast, take my sperm?
I tell you, we do get a lot of calls from students that say they're on their way to Pretoria and they realize we're in Parktown and they just want to quickly come and drop off some sperm and move through. And obviously, that doesn't quite work
for
us.
Big date night. And they don't want to leave home with a loaded weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so you don't pay.
It's a tricky question. Legally, you're not allowed to pay a donor because you're not allowed to trade in tissue. But you find the same. It's the same situation as what you have with organ donors or tissue donors or sperm donors. There is a form of compensation that is taking place in those transactions, and the recipient at the end of the day has to pay to access that tissue or organs or sperm in our case. So there is a cost involved, and obviously the cost has to be recuperated. So strictly speaking, yes, you do pay the donors, but technically you are not paying the donors for the actual sperm. They are donating the sperm. You paying them for their time and effort.
What kind of a – how much can you make out of a good
donation? It depends. We would normally compensate them with about 1,000 rand per specimen, and then depending on where they live. So if they are quite far away from Johannesburg, it can go up to 1,500 or 2,000 rand depending on where they stay.
And if the person came in – 8 times that year. Does that mean 8,000 rand for him every
That's
time
correct.
He's deposited?
Yes.
What if I came in 8 times a day?
Your sperm count will just drop and drop.
8 times
drop,
a day and for a whole year, nonstop.
If you came in 8 times a day for a whole year, we'll be charging you for board and lodging.
All right. How do you, apart from obviously these guys have to masturbate, or how do you collect the sperm?
They have to masturbate, mm-hmm. and they will then ejaculate into
a
specimen.
Like a nice
bottle.
Room with a decent atmosphere.
Yes, yeah. There's no candles and there's no assistant, but we do provide them with video material to help them.
Right. Do you update your porn regularly, or just give them access?
No, it's
to the
not
internet?
Really. It doesn't really require updating on a regular basis because they don't visit us that often.
No, but I'm thinking for the 1,000 rand a time. I mean. Yeah, it might be worth checking in more than once or twice in a month.
Well, aren't they watching it online? I mean, it's not. Yeah. Or are you still using DVDs and stuff?
No. Yeah. It's a downloaded movie that is on the computer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't give them internet.
That's some rattly old VHS. you've got to apply the tracking
with like a stretched tape and like 70s music.
In the old days, we still had magazines, so you must know how that went.
Oh, that must have been horrendous. You must have been replacing them all the time.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a different time in our lives.
Okay, so then what if a couple come to you and they say, look, we've got 4 or 5 kids already. We might want to have more, but we're going to send them in for a vasectomy. Do you have to sit them down and talk them through it? Or do you just say, all right, that room over there, sir, ma'am, you could sit and wait over here?
Yeah, pretty much. If we're not concerned with the amount of children that a person already have or has. If they want to store their sperm, we will go through the sperm storage process, do the necessary paperwork around that, and they will then give us the specimen, and we would freeze it.
Now, the discussion really happens with a urologist that's going to do the vasectomy.
What if you have a donor, and they come in and they anonymously donate, and you pay them, and they're on their way? And then someone comes to you and they want certain sperm. Anyway, you find them the right specimen. And then they want to have a kid. And it turns out later on they find out who each other are. Let's say they do a DNA test or something.
Yes.
You're not involved in that.
No, we are not. We can do a paternity test if it is required.
Mm-hmm.
But you would normally find that where there's a risk of consanguinity at a later stage.
So that would be too close a family
tie. That would be relatives,
tie.
Yes, a brother and a sister getting together.
You red flag that.
Well,
just
you wouldn't
on Game
red
of
flag
Thrones.
That. You know, normally we would advise the recipients that they would have to at some stage let their donor child know that the child is done and that there's a risk of consanguinity. Although the risk is very remote, it is still something that they have to discuss with the child.
Are there any other areas that you have to red flag?
No, there's no other areas. That
because
would
there's
be
a lot
the
of
biggest.
Tests that happen before you start.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the screening
HIV,
process is substantial.
STIs, just the usual. Mm-hmm. And then you just look a face over. If the nose is too big, the ears are too wide.
We do certainly want a symmetrical facial feature. We don't want Mickey Mouse.
So good-looking people.
Yes, we do want good-looking people.
What if someone really, really ugly but with a lot of money wanted you to store a bunch of their sperm, you'd let them?
If they're swearing for themselves, yes, but not necessarily as a donor.
Oh, so then how awkward do those rejections get when you turn them away because they're not good-looking enough?
Hey,
it's like a model agency.
Yes, it's like a model agency. You'll give them points and you'll say to them they're probably better suited for a different career.
But has there ever been a stage, I know you said it's illegal to basically trade in tissue, but I mean if you look at bulls and what people pay for prize bulls, was there ever a stage where there was a human kind of way of doing it? So Gareth's over the hill, right? But he's a nice guy. He's smart. And he's got strong calves. So there might still be a market for that. And because he's Gareth Cliff, there's obviously a markup in that.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, the problem that we're facing is that donor sperm is anonymous, or the donors are anonymous in South Africa. So you don't have known donors in South Africa.
Can you imagine if it was known? I reckon there's a huge market in this. Not ethical, I know. So this is all hypothetical.
Well, what I'll do is I'll pop it onto our website and say that we have sperm in store for Gareth Cliff and see what offers we get.
This week's celebrity offer. Over the hill, Gareth Cliff.
In terms of the legality of it all, say someone walks in, donates, and then 2 days later they phone you and they say, no, I changed my mind, I made a mistake. I mean, in terms of all the documents you've made them sign, are people allowed to change their minds
after
the fact?
Yes, they are. And that is certainly problematic because it's a huge expense. Our recruitment process takes anything from 4 to 6 weeks to finalize. So it is really sad when that does happen. But we have had that in the past, yes.
Because I can imagine it's quite ethical. Like a guy believes that, oh, I'll just go give some sperm. And then his girlfriend or wife's like, well, hang on a second. Mm. You can't do that. Because I remember having a conversation with Dory here in the studio. And she was saying, ethically, you know, would you do that? Is it like a thing you'd be connected about? It's quite a big question.
What about if someone, you know, there are certain systems in society, like in royal families, where it really does matter who your father and your mother are. From the point of view of perhaps you are the heir to something, or you are related to someone directly, or you marry into some family and you're actually already related to them. And these kinds of things happen. So anonymity is all good and well, but you wouldn't – those people are not donating.
No, those people would restoring for themselves if they did.
Yeah, because if Prince Charles visited South Africa and he decided to go and pop in for a quick $1,000 and anonymously donate, and the real King of England was walking around unbeknownst to him that he was the King of England and Prince William was only the second son, that would be quite a story.
That would be very interesting. I don't know how they would be able to confirm that, though.
Well, maybe Charles just needed a grand.
But with that, you know, paternity testing, and you do that. That is a whole, and that's a whole show on its own. But paternity testing is very complex DNA stuff. You have to have mothers and fathers present, and so often we get the mother has died, and now this father's questioning, is this really my kids? And so often those are difficult counselings to do.
That is why it's very important for us that when a recipient is in a relationship, you have to make sure that they both are aware of what's happening. You will sometimes find that a recipient would walk in and request donor sperm, but they're in a relationship. And when we find that information out, we will then insist that the husband gives consent, or that the partner gives consent for the process to take place. Because at the end of the day, once that person has agreed to that, you don't sit with a situation where the relationship is terminated because of a pregnancy that the one or the other partner did not really want. So these things also, big concerns for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about power failures? I'm thinking that could be a very big threat to your business.
Luckily, that is the least of our concerns in our business, because it's all stored in liquid nitrogen.
Oh, so it's not electric.
There's no electrical setup that is connected to it. So, power is not a concern for us. We can, if the power did go off, or if we didn't get supply of liquid nitrogen, we could still maintain the bank for 30 days at least, probably even longer. So we would have to have a non-supply for a month or more.
We get liquid nitrogen from the bull storing people, because they have loads of liquid nitrogen. We drive to Pretoria and go get it from them.
Yeah, that was the good old days. Now, we get it from Afrox. They come and deliver to our premises on a weekly basis.
Volumes. I get little bits.
Yeah. What are you doing? We can give you a little bit if you want.
What are you doing with this liquid nitrogen, Dr. McIntosh?
We burn, freeze warts and things off.
Warts.
That's what we do.
Like the big wart on your nose, we can take that off for you.
Thanks very much.
Oh, but hang on. I was told that you should never touch liquid nitrogen.
No, it burns you.
So then how do you apply it onto warts without it?
I was very good at coloring in school. I could color in between lines. That's why I like, because it's almost like coloring in. And you use
a little pipette.
Not a pipette, a swab.
Is it or painful earbud for kind the of thing, yeah. person? Yeah, it's painful for them.
Yeah, but you get rid of the wart. That's way
better. No, well, I mean,
but
I'm
you
just...
Go, you don't what's a fucking wart? On, or freeze. It's not burning, actually. It's freezing.
Yeah.
You don't freeze on healthy skin.
Isn't a wart... Isn't that something a witch has given you?
HPV, human papillomavirus.
Oh, it's not a witch.
And it's not a frog.
It's not a frog or a witch. Yeah.
You don't get the witches, but you promise.
Well, you know, in this town of ours, you never know what can pop out of the sky on a full moon. Witches brew.
So let's just think about this for a second. Ben wants to go and freeze his sperm now. So he pitches up at your bank, and he wants to store some for himself for in case he wants to have kids later on. And then he also wants to just somehow make R1,000 and do an anonymous donation.
I don't think it's a somehow make a process.
Sure it is. Yeah. It's R1,000. You don't care.
4 to 6 weeks recruitment.
Nonsense. You're not unhealthy. You're not going to die anytime soon. You don't look like you're on your last legs, and you don't look like Quasimodo. You'll be fine. So you take this from now. From there on, Ben has no... you don't phone Ben and say, hey, Ben... this really beautiful girl came in today. I gave her a sample of you.
No, certainly
you'll
not.
You'll never know.
You will never know. We do not disclose.
And then when he sees a child at the store and the child looks at him and he looks at the child and he goes, there's something about that kid. And maybe or maybe not, he'll never know.
He will never know. Okay. We do not disclose the recipients to the donors, and we don't disclose the donors to the recipients. They will only ever have a donor code or a donor number.
And how many women in South Africa, or men, or how many couples, how many families, come to you as recipients?
It's a difficult figure to arrive at. I know of some of the clinics that will do almost 1,000 cycles in a month, and there's about 18 clinics in South Africa. So I would say probably
infertility
clinics.
Right. So these are people particularly dealing with infertility of the man or the woman.
Yeah. So all of that, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not sure what the percentage would be as far as donor sperm is concerned or donated, you know, either eggs or sperm. But there's certainly a whole bunch of cycles that happen every year, probably in excess of 15,000, I would say. And that is on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. So that is substantial. Mm.
Isn't this amazing?
So, fascinating. Would you donate your eggs? Because that is actually a very difficult process.
Well,
it's not as
very
simple.
There's very many fewer of those than there are. But I mean,
they get a lot more as well. You get R8,000 a pop.
Yeah. Okay.
For each egg.
Well, donation.
That would be great if you got it for each egg. Because with some of the egg donors, they will aspirate up to 24 eggs.
Yeah.
But it's normally anything between 6 and 20 or 6 and 18 eggs. You also don't want to get into a situation where they've overstimulated you.
Mm.
And you end up with a situation where you've got the...
But don't women produce only 2 in every month?
No, they can produce a lot.
Really?
So we've been lied to.
Otherwise, we're going to be... you're born with about 500,000, and it means otherwise you're just going to have periods forever.
Yeah, but this is what I thought. I thought women were all watching that clock going, ah, shit, only a few left.
Well, that's what we've been told.
2 every month.
No, yes, well, 2 a month, and then also, you know, after a certain age, it's...
They just stop, they dry up.
It's tickets.
Yeah, and we can't exactly say that age either.
Because
I think that question is better posed to somebody like Dr. van der Westhuizen, who also works with on a regular basis.
Hmm. So you can go and... how do you donate eggs?
So there are two agencies, one in Cape Town, one in Joburg, that actually recruit women.
Mm-hmm.
And then they work hand in hand with the infertility clinics because it's a procedure that have to be done. We have to stimulate those eggs. Women sort of feel really yucky afterwards, but they say they feel good in their hearts. And they get some money for it. A lot of women go to India as well as Taiwan. I've got a patient who's donated 3 times in Taiwan already. But you have to watch them when they come back because you can get overstimulation.
Yeah. What does that mean?
So if you give them 2, because they are given hormones, because they must now produce.
Sure.
And so they can have menstrual problems, other problems. There was a whole carte blanche expose on that a while ago. Because a lot of women are promised a holiday in India plus donation.
And they're basically being farmed.
And then there's also a surrogacy agency in India where you basically have to stay and then... So I say, whole discussion for another day.
Wow.
Eggs. So tissue are big business.
Yeah, but I mean, this is...
Yeah, it certainly is.
You're solving people's problems here.
Yes, certainly.
Or creating them, because I don't know if your body's worth 8,000 rand to put through a lot of and sitting with problems afterwards.
Oh, please, people drink, they smoke.
Oh, that's true. I'm addicted to sugar.
They take drugs, they tattoo you themselves, they get a piercing, they eat themselves to a standstill. You really think that this is just another one on the list of things that we will do to our bodies?
That's true. Charles. I mean, body modification extreme.
Except, but you've also, I mean, you've heard horror stories of what people will do to sexually please each other. And sometimes that can be as dangerous as
not more.
Tune
in on Friday and listen to John T.
Well, there we go. Exactly.
Just John T. always have a show about this.
There's actually I don't know if it's BBC or Sex Got Me Into the ER. On one of these TLC.
People do stupid stuff to each other. Now, how many calories does sperm contain?
Actually, not a lot. Because remember, it's also very little. It's like a teaspoonful. But I mean, some people do it for a living. So, you know, like consuming semen for as
what?
A, for a living?
Prostitutes. Oh, okay. So I don't know if it's...
Some girls do it not for a living just for
do
fun.
It, it's an acquired taste, I want to believe. You know, like raw eggs, sushi.
So it's a bit like wine tasting. Do you spit or swallow?
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
But it's very healthy. It contains magnesium and
zinc.
Brussels sprouts are also healthy, but I'm still not eating those.
Now, is it also the main transmitter of sexually transmitted infections? Semen?
The semen, yes.
So it is.
Yes.
So you got to be careful of that.
A lot of things get transmitted. Just if we just look at oral sex,
people
think everybody's worried about penetration and never worry about taking it in other orifices, places, ears, nose. Wherever,
yeah, sure.
You know, but lots of things. Swim there.
What a birthday surprise for you, Bubs, to be reminded about all of this.
She's going to just swallow
and,
it.
And oral, but let's be serious for a second, because for a lot of people this is very funny, but for others it's potentially life-threatening.
No, it is. And that is yesterday was Monday. I call it Regret Monday, because people do stuff over the weekend. And then they want you to actually say, no, oral's not that dangerous.
And what do they come to you for?
Regret Monday, yeah. They want post-exposure prophylaxis.
Yeah.
Because people are now panicking. Or morning after pill.
So is that because, what is their biggest concern? Is it HIV or is it having a child?
No, people worry about STIs and specifically HIV. But when I start rattling off all the others, the chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis.
Some of those are revolting.
They are, and they're there forever as well, you know.
Yeah, like herpes, right?
Oh, not nice.
So those people who have cold sores, that's herpes?
Yeah, herpes 1. Herpes simplex 1, HSV.
Huh.
But it's a different herpes. It's not the same herpes.
You can get that from using someone else's lip ice.
You can get it from smoking a hookah pipe. What are they called? Hookah pipes.
Yeah, like a hubbly.
Hubbly. It's... You know, you have to think where you put your mouth, really. It's
Amanda, I hope you're listening. This is important. You better. Amanda's our young intern, and we don't want her to get bad advice. So we're just making sure that she's listening.
STI that's not often spoken about is chlamydia, and chlamydia for women, it's a bacterial infection, but it can block fallopian tubes.
Oy.
And so then you end up being in the infertility clinic.
Yep.
Because untreated chlamydia doesn't really do harm to men, but it's for women. And then HPV, human papillomavirus.
This is an important one. HPV, people don't like to talk about this, but you can actually have this. You can be free of this HPV if you're a woman. You just need to get the
vaccine.
The vaccine, sure. Right?
Yeah. So that's, and we should actually vaccinate men as well.
Now,
young boys.
What about, here's Michael Caine. I want you to tell me if this is true or not. Because Michael Caine, of course, is the actor. Just pop on those headphones quickly, Elna. Michael Caine, a well-known actor, he told us something once that made me very nervous. All right. And I don't know if this is true, and you're going to corroborate whether it's true or not. All right. Can you hear properly now?
Yes.
Hello, this is Michael Caine with an important message. Stop eating pussy. Science has proven it will give you throat cancer. So play it safe and rub it a little, and then stick your cock in it. If your lady complains, you tell her to talk to me. Michael Caine.
And that, is that a public service announcement we should take seriously or not?
So that is true, because get human papilloma in the back of your throat.
Well, that's what Michael Douglas says he got from Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I don't know if he said it was from her, though.
Well,
did he say that?
I don't know. Anyway, I mean, she wasn't probably pleased if it was. But is it true that if you are a man who gives a woman oral pleasure, you can get throat cancer?
So if there's HPV involved, yes. So we have to make sure that where we go, HPV is a very, if I tell somebody they have HPV on their pap smear, it is like I've given them a death sentence. And actually, it's about early detection,
mm-hmm.
having regular pap smears. If mm-hmm. we find HPV, there's also certain ones, 6, 11, 16 and 18, 6 and 11 causes. There's over 100 different subtypes.
Wow.
So 6 and 11 causes warts.
Yes.
16, 18, 32, 33 are the dangerous one that can cause cancer of the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really one of the reasons we do pap smears, to check are there abnormal cells. And if there are, we say, what are they? So women think it's the worst thing that happens to them. You know what? It's quick and over. It is like a man who comes too quickly. We're in, out, over. You're like, what was that? Oh, that was my pap smear. Finished.
But shouldn't girls be vaccinated against this early?
Yeah, but you know, we live with people that say we mustn't vaccinate for polio, we mustn't vaccinate for measles.
But this is ridiculous.
Because everybody's going to become autistic. There was one study about autism, which is, isn't that true? That study is... Very much questionable.
You know who's Jenny McCarthy, that stupid actress? She says this, that if you vaccinate children, they stand a chance of getting autism.
So,
but would you rather take the chance of polio or HPV?
Because we've eradicated polio, and now we're going to get outbreaks again. There's been measles outbreaks in countries where people have said, oh, we're not vaccinating, and then we have...
This is very stupid, right? This is probably one of the most dangerous things that could happen.
So the ideal is we vaccinate girls from the age of 9.
Yes.
And then people go mad because they sort of associate this with 9-year-olds are going to have sex because we vaccinated them.
No.
But we vaccinate also young girls with German measles so that when they do get pregnant, that's not going to be a problem for the fetus. So
between the semen... And the STIs there and the issues with the woman's genitals.
HPV,
are you basically saying that none of us should be having oral sex?
No, you should be taking out your dental dam and be having oral sex with your dental dam or with your
condom.
What is
the dental dam? I've never seen such a thing. What is it? How does it work?
So it's a little square. Dentists use it when they work here. So it's a latex square that you will – it'll be much smaller than this A4 page. So it'll be like half there.
Yeah.
And you'll put that over
– How romantic.
Well, you know what? So the ideal is we go together, we check for – there's no test for men for HPV. So – because it's a pap smear for women.
Okay.
And
but
so
men can carry it?
Yeah, because we have to get it from somewhere.
Oh.
So.
Probably us. We even are responsible for that.
You're responsible for it.
We're such
lot
a disaster,
huh? Yeah. So, with my mother hat on, yes, you'll always wear condoms. With my sexological hat, you know, the ideal is meet somebody, go and do the very romantic thing, go to Pietras' office and do. How much is the STD profile nowadays?
The STD profile can probably be around 3,500-4,000 rand.
If you want to be testing for everything. But the ideal is, I call it the big five tests for HPV in women, a pap smear, HIV, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia. Herpes, most people carry the antibodies anyway. So you usually take that history, but we can do swabs or urine tests for that as well. We have fancy tests nowadays, PCR, DNA tests. Pick it up very quickly. So that's what I do on Regret Monday. People come and they panic. I had sex, now what have I got? We forget there's an incubation period. In HIV, we say 6 weeks to 3 months, wait for antibody testing. And in PCR testing, at least 10 to 14 days. So,
or just as Mab says, just stop having sex completely.
No, not sex. Have protected sex.
Stop. All of it.
No,
Earth is full. Don't worry about it.
We know that people don't use condoms because the gynae that works with us in the clinic sees unwanted pregnancies every single day. And people tell me, no, but we use condoms. Well, clearly you're not because you're pregnant, dear. No, and people have interesting lives. I don't know if you saw Bridget Jones's baby. You know, she's not sure she had sex. You must watch
with
these
many
things.
Different men.
No, just two. There was one on the one weekend and one on the other weekend. Then they go to our lovely Dr. van der Westhuizen, and he's got to figure out who's the daddy here. And we can't till the baby's born or till you get involved and
do a paternity
test.
And at what age can you do a paternity test when the baby's still in the womb?
You can do it while the baby's still in the womb, but it's very high risk. You will find, I don't even know if you'll find anybody that will do that for you.
Yeah, the gynaecologist don't
it. It will normally only be done once the baby's born. So when they take the first blood in from there, they can take a specimen and send it through for
what if you've already paid for the pregnancy and then the childbirth and everything else, and you find out it's not yours?
Well, if you know who the other one is, you can maybe sue that chap to pay for it.
But these are real problems that we see.
No, that's for sure.
And or people come years later. So paternity testing isn't just also, there's a lot of legalities involved.
Yes.
And you have to have people in the same room the same time.
And the lawyers. And
absolutely. Involved. And you'll often find that people will say that the mother and the child will arrive for a DNA test and the father will then go and do his DNA test somewhere else.
Yeah, well, because he doesn't want anything to do with it.
But this is it. But you can't not have them all in the same room. So you have to have them all there, identifiable at the time, and then do the test and send the bloods off at the same time.
Well, let's touch wood and hope that none of us ever get into that situation.
Yeah.
I don't think that's pleasant. That's not a great way for a child to come into the world where its dad doesn't want to be its dad or isn't sure it's its dad.
What does Andrea Cryos mean? That's the name of their business.
Andrea Cryos. Andro is for andrology, and Cryos is cold.
Andrology, andros meaning man.
Yes, and Cryos meaning cold.
Okay, got
cold
you.
Mean.
All right, well, listen, all the best, and thank you very much for coming to share all of this information with us. This is fantastic stuff. I'm very, very excited. Just one quick thing from Dr. Elna McIntosh. 10 simple steps for better tasting semen.
Yeah, is that true?
I don't think so, but I did find it once on a Google search. But I do know that asparagus, asparagus just makes bad urine, makes us bad
asparagus
everything.
Is not good. It's nobody's friend.
Onions and garlic, smoking. Ugh. So they say eat strawberries. And you know what? I think
Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, pineapple. There you are. What did you say the pizza was you ordered last night for your wife?
Someone sent me a picture now of two people sitting there, and the girl and the guy, and they're looking at each other lovingly, and she says, "I like foresightful men." He goes, "I already drank a liter of pineapple juice." She goes, "What?" He goes, "What?"
That is excellent. I will go and find that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Elna McIntosh. What an absolute pleasure to see you again. I hope we'll see you again soon.
I'll send the girl version in.
Yes.
Well, you can Google them.
Yes, please. And Petrus Lobscher, thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Andro Cryos, which is the sperm bank here in Johannesburg. Sia's already planning his first trip there and his quick thaw. Mavs is already thinking of the eighth thaw. Between the two of them, they're going to be driving very fancy cars soon, and we'll all wonder why. CliffCentral.com